Welcome to Us and My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to the day before Thanksgiving. Welcome to Optimize My Life. Today is Wednesday, the 23rd of November, and you're listening to Conquering Chaos. Excuse me. If you join us Monday, live, Monday through Friday at 12 Eastern, where we offer hope for lunch. Optimize My Life radio show was started by a gentleman named Joel Griffin. And his legacy continues to empower you and give you the tools to help yourself and to help others to help others. We are sponsored by the Hope Collection, a non-for-profit organization. Hope stands for helping other people every day. Optimize My Life Radio. Each day is a different topic based on the eight pillars of the Hope Collection. Mondays are about faith and how to dealing with struggles in your life, and how using faith helps things go a little bit easier and gives you hope. Tuesdays are about travel and how to increase your income to have a legacy for your family. Wednesday is all about health and in your mind. We talk about problems, but we focus on the tools to help you face them and conquer them. Thursday is all about family and how faith can help you guide your family in the right direction. Fridays, the Hope Collection and the president, Ronald Clayton of the Hope Collection, guest host, five-time Nobel Peace Prize nominee and humanitarian award, Captain Len Kane, where he talks about the kindness campaign and the Golden Rule Society. Joel Griffin started the Hope Collection and Optimize My Life show to empower people and give them the tools to help others, to help others. He was a brilliant and generous man. The Hope Collection is a nonprofit organization with programs to support eight areas: faith, family, food, housing, wellness, energy, arts, and education. Its slogan is to help others by helping them help others. If you look at that situation and you said there's eight things, and that's why there's a broad base of things, and you have a slogan to help others, that sounds pretty synergetic. And you're right. Our goal is to optimize your life, to optimize everybody's life, to help them move forward, improve the quality of life across the board for you, your families, your extended families, and their communities, in their regions, and across the country and around the globe. The beauty of that is, and it's overly exciting, is that about helping other people is that we can approach life in that respect. The founder of the Hope Collection, Joel Griffin, has an approach and a viewpoint that giving is the best gift in life. The cycle of appreciation is approaching life in the viewpoint of not catching up when you only want to give. What you do is that you take the hook away. The objective is to help other people. The beauty is to help, and that is the pay it forward kind of approach. When you're building people to build people's lives, their neighborhoods, their families, and everything begins to appreciate. And that's what this whole show is about. And we're excited about being able to offer opportunities for people to come, to listen, to engage. Today we're talking about how to enjoy the holidays. Thanksgiving's tomorrow. So you've got the family coming over, you're going to family's houses. You got the chaos of cooking. You got the noise of kids running around screaming that you may not always be used to. You're preparing for Black Friday shopping and the fights that happen in the stores. Or you may be one of the few people like I was for the first part of my adult life, not having anywhere to go because I couldn't afford to come home when I was in the military a lot of times. And how you cope with those and how you deal with everything around you is key. Hi, Andre. How are you? Any big plans for tomorrow?
Okay, hey. I have these headphones. I can't really answer right now. But yeah, I'm going to meet up with some family. I got to work a little bit tomorrow, too. How about you? Can you hear me?
I hear you. You're a little muffled, but you actually sound pretty good. So I keep my standards low. My goals are, so it's just kids, my husband, and my mom coming over. A, I don't burn myself and end up in the emergency room again this year. And two, I don't burn food. Otherwise, anything else, I don't care. Because there's been times where I've ended up in the emergency room because I spilt something or ended up burning myself one way or another. You can Google dealing with stress and how to handle things, and they give you some simple tips. But are those simple tips really helpful in the heat of the moment? You know, people ask you questions and they, you know, one of the suggestions is take a deep breath before responding, or take a deep breath when you're getting stressed out. You know, politics or some kind of issue comes up, switch topics. Take control of what you can. Learn to let go of what you can't. Give yourself an emotional space. All these tips sound great in theory. All these tips sound, oh, yeah, this will all work. But the realization is that when you're in the heat of it, it's hard to stop and not argue. It gets hard to find a space for you to just breathe and vent for a minute when your house is loaded.
Scan likely.
Sorry. The easiest way to start to deal with the stresses of the holidays, first of all, is prepare yourself. You know, have a game plan of what is going to happen first. Okay. Sit down and plan. Okay, these are all the worst case scenarios that could happen today. Turkey catches on fire. We've all seen the Santa Claus movie. Everybody's at Denny's because everybody burned the turkey. There's a political debate about whatever's going on in the government. The kids spill or drop something on the white carpet. No. Make a list of all the worst case scenarios that could happen. Now look at all those scenarios. What are the chances that none of them are happening? Depends on your world. In my world with my kids, more than likely they're going to break something, drop something, spill something. That's why I have wood floors and no white carpeting. Now, plan your reaction to all those things. You know? Afraid to ask for help. You're getting overwhelmed by everything going on. You know, one, don't be afraid to tell people, out of my kitchen or out of the dining room. You open up and tell people you need that space or you need that help. But you can't do 5 million different things at once. You're not an octopus. when you have that plan, it helps you reduce your stress. And you're not scrambling around the last minute. Plan your cooking schedule. Plan when people are coming. Plan how things are going to go. But also, you've already planned all the worst-case scenarios. You have those backup plans. So the turkey gets burned. Well, do we have frozen pizzas? Do we have something alternative? So that way you're all not stressing. Is there a food delivery place that's open? You know, and asking for help. Remember Thanksgiving and what it's about. It's about asking for help. You know, the Native Americans and the settlers came together to help each other out and had one big meal. It wasn't where one group cooked everything and the other ones just sat down and ate. Everybody worked together. You know, you can assign different dishes for each, you know, everyone bring a dish. So then everyone's always responsible for one thing. Plan ahead. Make some stuff up ahead of time. Throw it in the freezer. Then you just have to take it out and defrost and throw it in the oven. Remembering to focus on what's important. Spending time with your family. Spending time somewhere. Doing something. You know, not focusing on what's perfect, not focusing on, oh, well, it went wrong. You know, you burn the cranberry sauce. Focus on what really, really is important about Thanksgiving. Don't forget to accept and receive. And by that, you know, look at the leaves, look at the snow. Depending on where you are. No, enjoy the atmosphere and the beauty that comes with the holidays. And don't forget to take time for yourself. When you start getting overwhelmed, reach out to someone, talk to them, let them know. You know, and appreciate it because there are a lot of people and a lot of soldiers who aren't home for the holidays. And people who have nowhere to go for the holidays. And if you're one of those, go ahead.
Hey, do you have any advice for someone, like if they are, there's a lot of people that are timid to ask for help, how to get over that lump?
What do you mean?
Okay, let's say Mary Jo, she's got a million things going on, but she's afraid to delegate to someone because in her past, someone told her that asking for help is wrong.
Sign of weakness.
Let's just say wrong or something. Yeah, but she does. What do you suggest?
Oh, so don't do what I did, used to do. I used to be that way. I used to be the one that, you know, cooked the family tradition, cooked the family recipes. No one knew if those recipes were because it was followed down to me and my mom couldn't remember them. Giving and holiday dinners by myself. And I'd get so overwhelmed. I'm crabby. I'm yelling at whoever because I forget to use my mouth and ask for help. And I get irritated because they're not reading my mind and doing what I think they should be doing. The biggest tool or the biggest step for that, I had to learn the hard way, why I ended up burning myself and in the emergency room, is it's okay. It doesn't have to be perfect. And that's where you set up a plan ahead of time. Make a list. All right, this is what needs to be cooked. This is what the place, house needs to be cleaned. The table needs to be set. Drinks need to be done. Make a list of everything. And beforehand, and delegate the list out. And if it's that cooking part is so important to you, then make sure you delegate everything else. The simplest, set the table to individuals. You know, stirring the gravy, simple little tasks. If it's hard for you, like it was for me, to let go and let someone else do it, I have to walk out of the kitchen and take a break and go have a cigarette, do something for that minute or so, because I'd be standing behind micromanaging. And it just takes practice, just learning to, it's okay. In your mind, they may not do it as well as you want them to do, because no one can do what you do. You are unique in your own way, but they're fully capable of some things. Some people struggle a little bit, but patience. You know, take that 2 minutes to have your calm down reset time and do what needs to be done for yourself. Go get a glass of wine, or go get a drink, or a glass of whatever you're drinking, or go say hi to a few people in the house. So do what needs to be done. It's okay for dinner not to be perfect.
Yeah, I've seen that too. Someone does get the help. But then they're going off at people because they didn't do it a certain way or something. And then that just kind of hurts the whole ecology of everybody. So, yeah, that's good advice to just turn the head for a little bit. Let everybody be involved. Not everybody, but, you know, people that you want to delegate to. Because you need, yeah.
To do that. You know, like in our house today, I'm making the pies and the strudel. Me and my daughter are going to do it, so we don't have to worry about it tomorrow. You know, because I'm one of those that does get so overwhelmed and I get tunnel vision. I go what my family calls military mode, where I just, all right, here's the mission. Dinner's got to be cooked. This is how it's going to be done. There's a routine and there's steps to follow. Stay the heck out of my way. And it's taken me a while to learn to, all right, breathe. It's okay. Burn the gravy. Okay. We've got butter.
Yeah, I never trust that little pop button on the turkey anymore. No way.
No. Always. Always use the thermometer. Because those are general, it has to be placed in the exact right spot. It, yeah. And there's those regular thermometers aren't that expensive. Them for a couple bucks. Flip over to the people who don't have anywhere to go or don't have the option to be able to go anywhere. I've been there. Now, the way our culture is and how society is all about, you know, the big thing about holidays is you have to be surrounded by all your friends and family, all your loved ones. Hallmark movies, the commercials, there's always that one person that's alone that's looking sad in through the window at family. Hard when a lot of jobs aren't open or you don't have distractions to distract yourself from the holidays. first thing is have a game plan. What are you going to do for the holidays? You know, if you want to be surrounded by people, you know, go to the movie theaters or donate your time at the homeless shelters or soup kitchens that are offering meals. A lot of the VFWs and other places like that are open to don't have places to go or can't afford to make themselves something for the holidays. But most importantly, don't blame yourself for that, for being by yourself. It's okay. It's just simply a statement of what's going on in your life right now. It's nothing to do with your worth and who you are. As long as you're not spending outside your budget or doing something that's wrong or bad, treat yourself for the holidays. Take a weekend away or take a day off and just relax at home. Have a spa day. No. Take care of yourself. Have it as your pampering day. Self-compassion, gratitude, and positive affirmations help improve your self-esteem, uplift yourself, and decrease those feelings of loneliness or sadness. Well, remember what or who you still have. It's easy to fixate on the things that you don't have in life or you want to have but just aren't there yet. You're far from being the only person feeling lonely this season. And you'd be surprised on how eager others are to connect. You know, go on social media, see who's around. And I'll do a Zoom night or a movie night with a bunch of your people that, you know, all watch the same movie and talk about it. Find ways to connect with others. And they don't have to be right there with you. That's the great thing of the modern technology. The best thing about being an adult is you make your own rules for the most part. What do you want your holiday to look like, realistically? No. Do you want to eat pizza and drink wine or whatever you want to do for the holidays? That you can do it. You don't have the restrictions that everybody else has of expectations of what they're supposed to do. You know, when you're looking at it as it's my holiday, I'm doing this my way, and you look at it as positive, it helps uplift your spirits. You know, set up a deal with all your friends or video chat, you know, make a substitute holiday with substitute family. You know, there's nothing that says your family has to be your genetic relations. You know, in the military, my family was my fellow soldiers that I served with. Reset your expectations. You know, with COVID and how we've been locked down for so long and we're now being able to do things. Being able to be flexible and find new things to do. No. Going to the bakery and buying a pie or trying to make one yourself. And feel sorry for yourself, but why don't you take this effort and that energy to donate your time. You know, when I was down in San Antonio, I was stationed at Fort Sam, I helped build a program called Adopt a Soldier. And it was just, it was my way of dealing with the holidays being by myself. And what it is, it was a program for kids who are in the military in the training areas, and they were just getting into the Army. And they either didn't have a home to go to or they couldn't afford to go home. Well, the misconception is that, you know, when you're training in the military and you're not a full soldier yet, those facilities shut down during the holidays. So you're stuck in your barracks, or you're stuck doing what you're basically in a lockdown situation. So what we did is we set up a program so that the local community could take these people home for the day. And so they had somewhere to go. You know, build programs like that, do things out. To help someone else, you know, go visit the nursing homes or homeless shelters. Help others that aren't as fortunate as you are. Doing something nice for other people. You know, leaving a note on their door, making them treats. Giving it to your neighbors. A plate of cookies. Something. You know, invite people over, have a little block party or in a hallway party. You know, get in touch with your spiritual side. You know, take time to try and be introspective or spiritual that you may not have had time to give done before. No, we take so much for granted until things don't work the way we want them to work or be the way we want them to be. You gotta get out of the victim mentality mode and look at, all right, well, you know what? We're healthy. We're good. Now, what can we do to improve it? You know, looking at the Bible or going to church. See what church groups have going on. In this day and age, there's so many little ways to create a connection with others. Exercise, going to the gym, to social media, to just walking down the street and saying hi to people. Going to church. Going to clubs. You begin to experience that sense of belonging and feeling connected to others. Now, start a gratitude journal. What is going right in your life? And what can you be happy about? All the small little joys and victories. And set up goals of how you want to continue on and how you want to adjust for next year. Share your appreciation for people in your life. Let people know that you appreciate them. You know, from your coffee house that you go to, you know, your bosses or your colleagues. You know, write thank you notes. Making someone else feel good makes you feel better. Have a movie marathon. Sit on the couch, munch out on veggies or garbage, and tune out the world for the day. Most importantly, attack every day. Wake up and set a goal. Every little win is a victory. You know, creating a pattern is a good distraction from the normal. Be consistent in routine, our keys. With the hustle and bustle and everything going on, between elections and holidays, weather, COVID, it's hard to be predictable. It's hard to always keep a brave front. And you know what? It's okay to be sad once in a while. It's okay to sit down and have a good cry. You have your emotions for a reason, and they are to tell you how you're feeling. And accepting how you're feeling is the first step to feeling better. So you feel sad, okay, now let's figure out why you're feeling sad. Now what can you do to help alleviate that? And I'm not saying just wipe the walls and pretend that in this gaslighting society of, okay, everything's perfect, because it's not. Being honest with yourself is the most important thing for both your emotional well-being, but your mental health. And understanding that it's okay to have these emotions, even though, you know, you've been taught your whole life that it's not okay. And I've gotten a lot of arguments about this, but when you think about this, when babies cry, the first thing you do is, oh, it's okay. And you stop them from crying. You calm them down. As if you get older, you fall and skin your knee or you get hurt. Oh, don't cry, don't cry. It's okay. And we're all guilty of this. We are programmed from a young age that being sad and crying or emotions other than happy is not okay. It's expressing these emotions constructively. Yes, we all get angry. We all get mad. Now, how you deal with that anger and how you deal with that madness, that frustrations and constructively is what's important. Talking it out, explaining how you feel, telling that person why you're mad, telling yourself why you're mad. Because a lot of people, including me, we've been mad. We're just mad. We don't know why. It just happened to be that someone walked by at the right time when you're already irritated and they're already like a match to the flame, to a gas bill. But sitting down and figuring out why that happened. What was irritating you before you blew up? Something related and just made you mad. No, understanding all these emotions is so important. Understanding that you cannot control everything around you, no matter how much we want to. And all that safety and security of being in control, we're grasping at it even harder because of COVID. And learning that, you know what, we can't control everything, but that's okay. Worrying about what the neighbor's doing, worrying about what the government's doing, worrying about anything and everything. And just learning that it's okay that we can't control this or we can't do this or we can't do that. This is what I can control. And how you deal with that is so important. I mean, we live in this society right now where mental health is so important and everyone's talking about, you know, feeling better and positivity, and we're not understanding that it's not helping the situation any, you know. Being positive seems like a great idea. You're happy. You're always happy. Focus on, but when you get to that point, when you start to question your own reality, and you basically go from feeling completely sad all the time to feeling completely happy, that's where we've got the problems. It's being over optimistic. And what you want to do is be real with yourself. If you can't be real with yourself, you can't be real with anyone else. We've all done it. We've all lied to ourselves to make ourselves feel better. So we've all got different phrases, you know, look on the bright side. All we need is little positive reminders. Things will get better. Remember, the glass is half full. Just stop and smell the roses. Which, in moderation, those are good sayings. But where does the border, where does the line cross from that to being positivity is the only way to look at things. Kind of like, you know, I always use the comparison of Stepford Wives. You know, looking at how traditional roles, what you're supposed to be like. You're supposed to be happy, smile, great. Now, whether we're in a good place or a bad place or somewhere in between, expressing and talking about your feelings is the most important thing. Now, normalize in your household, normalize talking about your mental health is important. Your feelings, you know, especially with men, you know, having feelings is a sign of weakness. Men are allowed to cry at certain things or during certain things, but if they cry in between them, they're considered weak. You know, no matter how much we look at progression, we look at how equal rights, equal everything, it's really not that way. You know, women want it all, yet we still want our men to be non-sissies by society's viewpoint. Tough, strong, whatever. People don't understand and realize is we are not designed to be happy all the time. If that was the case, we wouldn't have been given logic and empathy. We're designed to have a wide range of emotions. Well, that's part of the reason why, you know, kids with autism have a hard time understanding emotions, because the way our therapy works here in the United States is that we put them in a room and we show them books and explain through facial expressions what emotions are. Time when they have meltdowns, they have temper tantrums, same with our kids, all kids, you're taught to shut it down instead of explaining, all right, you're angry. Yes, this is what you're feeling. Your heart's racing. Your muscles are tight. You're getting mad. This is anger. Why? And explain what the emotions are and why they're feeling them, giving them the words that they don't have. Instead, we're teaching our kids to bury all those emotions and all, so that as we grow up, we don't express our emotions. I know it's a lot like, you know, fighting in front of your kids, arguing in front of your kids. You know, there's that whole controversy. Is it okay to have a fight, an argument in front of your children. In my house, we have disagreements, and we have them in, with our kids are in the room. We don't hold off and walk into another room. Because how do we teach our children it's okay to have a disagreement? It's okay to have that opinion and express it. And then how do we resolve it? If our kids never see what a truly full-sided 360 view of a relationship is. The kid, your kids only see happiness in a relationship and only see one side or two sides of that. How do they know when they get into that situation how they can handle them when they get to that point in life? Hi, Kurt. How are you?
Good, Mary. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Oh, just doing good. You're doing good. We had a very challenging day yesterday, but we're getting better. So,
I haven't been on social media. What was your?
We had to put our dog down yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was it got sick?
Yeah. Yeah, he, the vet called it the compressionized of the spine over the hind legs, which is cutting off the nerve motivation to his hind legs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically he was dragging his legs.
Yeah. I have that, but mine's not quite that severe yet.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, it's called.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's not bad. It's my legs go numb frequently.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't move them around,
yeah.
That's why you never.
Oh,
that's okay. Why I like the radio. I don't have to stand still. I can walk.
Right. Right.
Sorry to hear about your dog, Kurt. Hi. Hang in there, buddy. It's like, I don't know, this time of year or something with dogs. I've heard somebody else have to take their dog into a vet because the dog was eating fox. So it was really fatal, but I think the dog pulled through just barely. So it's not easy. I lost dogs before.
It was the hardest thing my wife had to do.
Yeah.
And you've had this dog a long time, have you? It's not.
Yeah, we had her for 15 years. 2006, we got him.
I don't care what anybody says. Dogs are a family member.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Human, but it's still, you know, they had a soul, you know. You could feel it. You could see it.
They have, like, a sixth sense.
That, too, yeah.
No, like,
yes,
we have two at our house, and they're both royal pains in the butt, but, you know, they're trained service, well, they're not even fully trained, but they're registered service dogs, emotional support dogs for my kids. And so, like,
right.
We have the little one that we got by the neighbor just by accident. Just, it kept getting out of her house and ended up in my house. So it drove me nuts. But,
so
you know, every time my son gets
upset,
it'll come sit by her or him.
No.
And then we have, you know, my big dog that won't let any strangers in our house. If you're a bad person, you won't let you near my kids.
They know.
They know.
Yeah.
Dogs
know
evil, and they know bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. They have that sense.
They can see what we can't see.
That is so true.
You and your wife, and I don't know. Hopefully you got good pictures and got good memories.
Oh, we do. My daughter sent us pictures of the day we got them. We had three dogs at one time, and two Sitsus and a and a mutt. It was, and this is the last one of them. So my daughter sent two pictures of them when we first got them. They were so cute and so tiny.
Little puppy.
Yeah.
That's great.
So,
Kurt, do you have any big plans for tomorrow?
Yes. My mom and I and my wife are going out to Thanksgiving dinner at a local restaurant. And then we're going to be coming back and we're going to, you know, make phone calls to the family and probably just relax by the fire. But that's about it. Going back to I just caught into the show, so I know you talked. What were you talking about? I see.
The first thing we started talking about was the holidays and how to deal with the stress of family cooking, dealing with you know, asking for help. And just taking a breath and letting things go that you can't control. And then we talked about for soldiers and families or people that don't have anywhere to go or don't choose not to go anywhere, how to deal with that. And how emotions are good and how, you know, we've been trained that emotions are bad. We're supposed to always be happy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's what, you know, emotions, yeah, they, sometimes you try to put that face of happiness on, but deep down inside, you know, for example, when I was a single guy, I was always invited to my neighbor's house for Thanksgiving with the family, because my family was out of town, and it was like almost a replacement, but I still had that emotion that I wish I was with my family. And I don't know if that ever, that never goes away. You know, no matter if you're surrounded by your friends. So, but I have a Thanksgiving story if you want to hear it.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. When I was growing up back in New Jersey, our oven broke down on Thanksgiving Day. My mom's neighbor was out of town. They were at Florida. So they called them. My mom called them up and said, hey, can I use your oven to cook my turkey? And she lived like maybe two blocks away. So we went down there like every hour to bake the turkey, come back, and, you know, visit with a family, come back, and when the turkey was done, we had to put it in the trunk, and our car just smelled nothing but turkey all the way home. It was a good time.
Sounds like it. But your mom, see, and that's how it works. You know, your mom was stressed out at first, but then she quick thought about it and figured out a solution to the problem. She didn't just sit and stop. And that's what we need to go back to, is being able to sit and think about things, even if it takes a second, and figure out a solution to the problem and not sit with this victim mortality. Oh my gosh. Oh, I burned this and this didn't work, or, you know, being able to do that and contemplate things and adjust things is so vital and so important.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to sit down and take some time to think, okay, what can I do? And not say, oh, I gave up. No, then you can't do that. And, you know, so we fed 20 people that time with a turkey, two blocks away. That was fun. But, yeah, I understand that. You always look for something that you can do that day. To, you know, even when you're alone, like I was alone. And I just got up and went over to my son's house the day before, and they said, why don't you come over for Thanksgiving tomorrow? I said, sure. So.
You know, and that's the thing, is that, you know, there's so many things you can do, like, you know, go to your friends or go to, go to different places. Hang on 1 minute. Hang on.
Okay.
Oh, I see the dog is really working, huh?
You don't want the registered service dog. You're not supposed to walk into my house. Get out.
This isn't your house.
Get out or I call the cops.
Piece of shit. Go ahead. This isn't your house. You were just served.
Sorry.
That's okay.
The man?
It's okay.
Kurt, I'll call you later and explain.
No problem. I know what you're going. I know what you're going through. You'll have to. You'll be able to.
All right. So we're almost out of time for today. Tomorrow, even though it is Thanksgiving, we are going to have Bob Oakley is going to do the show. And we're going to have a special Thanksgiving show for people. So I hope you tune in for that. Mm-hmm. And as of right now, we're still having the show on Friday and Saturday.
Cool.
And starting Monday, we are going to start the night show.
Awesome. And
all right,
I'm doing
so,
a show on holiday blues.
I'm sorry, what, Kurt?
I just want to say happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Overton.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Yeah, I just want to say I'm doing a show on the holiday blues and what solutions you can take to get rid of the holiday blues. It should be a very fun show.
All righty.
Have a good
day. Very good.
Call
in. Popping in and out. I have three jobs.
Tune in and get a chance. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good day, everybody.
Okay.
Love
you too,
man. Take care.
Take care, guys.